Good morning. I heard a beautiful voice behind me. Now I know who that beautiful voice was. You have a you're a good singer. Thank you for singing behind me today. Just a reminder, today we have our fellowship lunch. We would like to particularly invite all of our guests. There is food enough. There's always too much. And if my wife takes it home, I'll eat it at home and eat too much. So you do me a favor, if you stay and you eat with us, we'll be happy to have you. Particularly also our members who don't always come, be good to fellowship with us and eat and have a good time at the same time. My topic today, and as promised last week, the attitudes we need to have at Plymouth to develop a biblical family. One of the most wonderful biblical principles for a community life in Christ is expressed by Deborah in the Old Testament. She who took the responsibility of delivering Israel when no man would stand up for the job. In Judges chapter 5, verse 2, she said, "When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord." Throughout history, the point is illustrated over and over, both positively and negatively. Those in position of leadership among God's people set the example and the tone for the life of all the people. Preachers, elders, deacons, and teachers can recognize and respond to the biblical teaching concerning Christian community by taking their proper place as servants among the Lord's body. The other alternative is they carve out for themselves a secure place at the top of a tottering power structure. It will fall if Christ is not Lord and head of the church. No structure that sets itself against the headship of Jesus will survive. Christ is the head of the church. Every member of his body is placed there by God himself. No one would be in this church here at Plymouth if God had not placed him here. Every member is important. Every member has a ministry. Every member is vital to the life and community of the church here at Plymouth. The authority of leaders amongst God's people is a delegated authority. God has delegated this authority to be used for the glory of God. The authority of leaders among God's people is not an absolute power. The authority that is given is to feed sheep, to tend lambs, to protect the flock against wolves. In short, it is the power to be servants. Or more aptly said, it is the power to be slaves to Jesus Christ. That's what being a leader in the church is all about. Being a slave to Jesus and a servant to his people. There are enough forces trying to destroy the church and the body of Christ that we members do not need to be living a life that will cause one another to devour ourselves and to destroy one another while competing for positions of authority. Let us instead learn from the example of Jesus Christ. Leadership is about washing dirty feet, not about power. I like to ask a question, two questions. And I want you to think about these questions as we discuss this topic today. First question, if you and I were as committed to the body of Christ as Jesus was, what attitudes would we cultivate in order to build up the body? Second question, how would we think of and behave toward one another so as to display and develop a body of believers committed to glorifying God by serving one another? Think on these questions as we discuss the attitudes that should be developed in a biblical community of Christ. Last week, we discussed four needed elements for any church to be the church of the Lord. We have to be aware of covenant, an agreement with God to obey Him and to serve our fellow Christians, of community, a family that lives and works together, of communion, time spent together as His people, and commitment, because none of the other three have a chance if the members are not committed to the covenant that God has made with us. And these four require and ask that we change our attitudes in certain areas. Let us examine these attitudes where God asked us to change. First attitude is acceptance. Christ-likeness in action and attitude toward one another is key to building up the body of Christ. Our ministries that the Holy Spirit gives each of us is a ministry to serve the body, to build up the body. And God has given each a ministry. But first off, we must accept those whom Christ has put into the church here at Plymouth. We must see our fellow members through the eyes of the Lord Jesus. In Christ, God has extended a loving acceptance to each Christian, regardless of weakness, regardless of peculiarities, regardless of problems or moral failures. God has accepted us into fellowship with Himself and has added us to the church. Every Christian, including Cletus and myself, and all the other elders and deacons, we all come from a tainted past, from an inadequate present, when Christ added us to His church. If I would ask, who is perfect, raise his hand, I hope and pray no one would raise their hands, because none is perfect in the church except in and through Jesus Christ. It is God's grace that makes us righteous. It is God's grace that makes us members of the Lord's church. And it is God's grace that transforms us and lets us grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. This does not happen overnight. When we are baptized, we have agreed to the covenant of God, and we have agreed to live in fellowship with Him and with one another. And when we receive the Spirit at baptism, it is the Spirit of God that works at making us like Christ. God's process of spiritual growth is founded upon this principle, just as I am, without one plea. God takes us as we are and begins the work of righteousness in our lives. Acceptance. God has accepted those in Christ here at Plymouth. We have been called to accept them as well. In Christ, we no longer base our self-acceptance on the opinions and evaluations of other people. However, we are social creatures. We seek confirmation from one another. We seek reinforcement that the Father has lovingly accepted us. We seek that in our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think on the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 32, Paul says, "Be kind and loving to each other, and forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. You are God's children whom He loves. So try to be like Him. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God." Also, Romans 15, verse 7. "Christ accepted you, so you should accept one another, which will bring glory to God." And Romans 14, 1. "Accept into your group someone who is weak in faith, and do not argue about opinions." God has called us to be accepting to those whom He brings into the fold, particularly here at Plymouth. We who are more mature have been called to take on those who are less mature in Christ as brothers and sisters. Accept them, encourage them, and work with them, because they are looking up to us who are more mature, looking for that acceptance that is found in Jesus Christ. Older brothers and sisters can behave in such a way as to imply that acceptance depends upon my feelings toward you, how I think you should be. But it is Jesus that is Lord. It is Jesus that has accepted them as they were and as we were. The legitimate role of a mature Christian, particularly a Christian leader, can be perverted if we forget that. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 through 12. Paul says, "But be careful that your freedom does not cause those who are weak in faith to fall into sin. You have knowledge, so you eat in an idol's temple. But someone who is weak in faith might see you eating there and be encouraged to eat meat sacrificed to idols while thinking it is wrong to do so. This weak believer for whom Christ died is ruined because of your knowledge. When you sin against your brother and sister in Christ like this and cause them to do what they feel is wrong, you are also sinning against Christ." Remember, he said, if you put just a cold cup of water in someone's hand, you're doing it for Jesus. But likewise, if we knock the water out of their hands, we are doing it to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 and following. "The answer is, if you eat or drink, or if you do anything, do it all for the glory of God. Never do anything that might hurt others, Jews, Greeks, or God's church. Just as I also try to please everybody in every way, I am not trying to do what is good for me, but what is good for most people so they can be saved." Acceptance. We need to learn to accept the brothers and sisters where they're at, as God has given them to us. And He has given them a ministry, as He has given us a ministry in the church. Second, we need to develop an attitude of approval. The truth of the gospel demands that God's children recognize and rejoice in one another's freedom to serve in the body of Christ according to the ministry that He has given us in grace. Never forget, every baptized believer has been given a ministry that must be exercised to help the body of Christ mature and grow. A unique gift, usually that no others have. My place in the body of Christ does not exist to measure up to your expectations or to others' expectations. God is my judge. God is my Lord. I live for Him and not for others. Both you and your ministry are God's gifts to me and the rest of the church and must be exercised if the church is to be healthy, if the church is to grow. The church which Paul planted in Corinth was reprimanded by the Spirit of God because they had divided into cliques and parties. Some said, I was baptized by Peter. That's much better than being baptized by Paul. Others said, oh no, I was baptized by Apollos. His wisdom is far more than Peter or Paul. Others said, I was baptized into Jesus Christ. All of your quatch is worth nothing. Each group failed to appreciate the contributions made by the others. They had forgot that all members of the church have been called by God personally and placed into the church by Him. Each bickering faction probably fancied, we're the in-group. We're the ones doing it right. The others are wrong. And each judged and disapproved of the others. And Paul condemned this attitude. We need to allow each other time and space to mature. Some children mature quicker. Some children mature slower. Some maturity comes in spurts. Sometimes we wait a long time for our children to mature, and next thing we know, they're adults. Likewise in the spiritual realm. We must allow time and space for each other to mature. God is working on it. God and His Spirit are working on the maturity of each Christian. God knows how fast one can grow and when that spurt must come. But remember, we have all been called to mature in Christ, to grow in the likeness of Christ. No growth is a sign of sickness, not of health. But this is the business of each disciple and his Lord at the speed of growth. Because we have been called to love one another, to encourage one another, to help one another to growth. But we have not been called to make over Christians in our image. It's in the image of Jesus Christ that we must grow. The ultimate goal of every Christian is to be Christ-like and to do all he can or she can to build up the body of Christ. For that's, for us, that's the body of Christ here at Plymouth. We cannot allow ourselves to be broken up into groups, into factions, or into cliques. We serve one another as family. The third attitude is an attitude of being non-critical. God can use one Christian to help another reach his or her potential as a minister member of the body. But only when the log of self-centeredness is no longer in our eye. Often, if things are not going the way we think they should go, then of course, others must be wrong, and I am right. And things must be done in my way, because my way is right. I can and I must receive my brothers and sisters in Christ with no qualification or misgivings. I must accept them on the same basis that God receives sinners, the cross of Jesus Christ. The judgment one directs to his brothers or sisters will be judged upon himself one day. It is the judgmental, censorious spirit that is out of place in the body of Christ. God is judge. It goes without saying that persistent, unrepentant sin is a cancer, and it is not to be trifled with. God had said, after a first and second admonition fails, and the sinner refuses to change, then it is to be brought before the church. And when he refuses to change, when the church talks to them, then there must be action taken. That's a biblical thought. There must be a clear and definite recognition that the member cut off from Christ is also cut off from the body. But we must remember that that which is cut off and cut out must be clearly and definitely against what the Bible teaches. We cannot add things to our list of reasons to cut off and cut out cancer. I cannot say, I don't like the fact that Charlie chews gums. I think we should put him out of the church. Well, that's adding to what God has said. And we need to be careful in our judgment of what is right and wrong. We must let God decide what is right and wrong, and He has revealed that in His Word. Remember the brother that was living with his father's wife? First he complains, "You're acting like that's correct and right. Cast this brother out if he won't repent." And then they did cast him out. The brother repented. And Paul had to write back and say, "He repented. Bring him back into the family." We need to forgive as well. But we must learn to think non-critically. We too make mistakes. We too have done things and do things that others might think we should be cut out like cancer. Let God, in His Holy Shrift, tell us the reasons for asking people to come to repentance and not add to those things, because anything more is sin. Christ has given us a deposit of unchanging gospel truth. Let us retain the truth and not add to it as we think it should be. Let God decide what is right and what is wrong. Let us stick to the revealed Word of God as it is. Let us not, though, throw over the Bible and dump it in the water. Let us keep it. It is our anchor to truth. It is our anchor to God. It is our anchor to salvation. If we refuse to stand for something, we will be ready to fall for anything. There are biblical truths in the Bible that must be held to, and we cannot allow others to deny these. But on the other hand, if we anchor the church with the weight of legalism, things that I think might be good, things that I think might be helpful, these are not anchors. They might be helpful at times, but they are not anchors. They will only steer us by an extra biblical compass, and we will be lost at sea. Once again, let me remind you, if we are not growing and maturing in Christ, this is not a sign of health, it is a sign of sickness. And something will need to be done. But we need to develop a non-critical attitude toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. We too make mistakes who are mature in Christ. Fourth attitude, adoration and thankfulness to God. God accepts each of us as we are. We need to learn to accept others as they are and be thankful that God has brought them to us. God doesn't bring people into the church for no reason at all. He brings them into the church for a purpose. Not only their salvation, but the salvation of us all, because each member has a function, a ministry to the others? And who am I not to be appreciative of what others can do for the church? If we insist on a perfect or nothing relationship, brothers and sisters, we will have nothing. I hope our families don't run on a perfect or nothing relationship. I would have been kicked out a long time ago. If we don't run our families that way, why would we run God's family that way? Hopefully we accept what could not be helped. Hopefully we are forgiving of human weaknesses. Let us discuss disputable points. Simply because our personal expectations were not met does not mean that they are scripturally wrong. Let us be thankful to God for our brothers and sisters. We do not give up on one another. Do you give up on your own children? Then let us not give up on our own brothers and sisters. Do not let us reject what God has put into the church. Do not reject what is weak because we think they are not worthy. Because our expectations are not being met. Rather, we will thank God and adore Him in recognition of the gifts and talents He has given our brothers and sisters. Because in turn, those gifts and talents are used to build us up. Let us learn to thank God for our brothers and sisters. Every member of the body of Christ is a minister. Every body of the Christ has a value and a meaning to the church here at Plymouth. I think of Matthew 10:42. Those who give one of these little ones a cup of cold water because they are my followers will truly get their reward. Even if your talent is only giving a cold cup of water, God will reward you for that talent, that ministry. Not all have been called to be elders. Not all are called to be preachers and teachers. Not all are called to do everything. God has given talents and ministries to all. It is past time that we recognize one another for who we really are and give glory to God for one another's ministries, however menial or lowly we think they are. That's what God has given them to do. Accept it. Be thankful for it. The fifth and last attitude this morning, and in my opinion the most important, is that of love and patience. Of all the attitudes to which God is calling us in order to express and develop this biblical community, this biblical family, God has called us to love and patience. Patience is the hard one there, isn't it? And I get impatient with myself probably more than I get impatient with others. Christ is building His church. It's not my church, it's His church. Christ is building it. It cannot be done in the weakness of human flesh. It is the work of God through His Holy Spirit. God is working on each individual Christian in the church. Who am I to judge how fast or how not fast they grow, how important their ministry is or not is? The fruit of the Spirit by whom we all were baptized into one body must flow out of hearts of our hearts and embrace the whole community of believers. We will seek and find innumerable excuses to reject one another. We will find reasons to set ourselves apart from our brothers and sisters. That is why He calls us to love and patience. You'll always find a reason to do something that you don't want to do. But God has called us to love and patience. If we are growing together in His love, We will be patient and long-suffering toward one another, for His love is patient. His love is pure-hearted. His love is peaceable. His love is gentle. And God has called us to love and patience of the brother and sisters in Christ. In a world full of broken homes, broken commitments, and broken people, may the Christian community here in Plymouth shine as a body united in Jesus Christ, letting members grow and use their abilities that Christ has given them in their ministry to serve us. Let us learn to let God's grace heal. Let us learn to trust Him. The question this morning is, how goes your ministry of love to the church at Plymouth? Are you holding back your ministry just because a brother or sister does not meet your expectations? Have you sauntered yourself into groups because you don't like certain members of the church? If so, you need to change your attitudes this morning for the sake of your soul and for the sake of the unity at Plymouth. God has bought each member at Plymouth at an expensive and costly price. It cost Jesus Christ His life and His blood to bring each member into the church at Plymouth. Or maybe you're not yet a part of this body. Would you not like to be a part of the body and life of Jesus Christ? You can do it this morning. Come forward and we'll baptize and wash away your sins as Jesus commanded as we stand and sing.